Welcome back to Techonomics. I'm the show host, Jason Middleton. Now, we are going to get back to investing with an eye toward gender diversity and how that diversity positively improves a company's bottom line. But first, and by happenstance, another issue cropped up this week around marketing to women and how largely not to do that. Apparently, Cosmo thought it just okay to design, highlight, and shill a new car, quote, designed for women, end quote. According to Adweek.com, women's magazine and marketing menace Cosmopolitan announced at London Fashion Week that it has teamed up with car maker Seat to release a vehicle designed for, again, quote, fun and fearless Cosmo girls, end quote. And that went about as well as you would think. Here's the pulsing beat that accompanied the new car on stage in London. The Seat Me has eyeliner-shaped headlights, a champagne-colored interior. It comes in purple and is fun to drive and easy to park, apparently. There are no damsel-in-distress warning lights, however. The Me, spelled M-I-I, is not only a lightning rod for a lawsuit from Nintendo and its Wii division, W-I-I, but also a lightning rod for, of course, social media. The internet erupted after the launch of the Cosmo car. Two tweets that illustrate the trending mood. Now, finally, women can drive themselves. Why has it taken so long? Does it have a tampon holder? And then there's this gem. Aren't all cars for women, or just cars, as I usually call them?
Pay me what you want it. Don't act like you forgot.
But wait, there's more. Women get to pay full price for that new car, not 77% of the retail cost that would have matched a woman's earning power when measured against a comparable male worker. On the positive side of gender issues, Morgan Stanley has developed a toolkit to help investors identify which companies are forward-thinking enough to tie gender diversity to their bottom lines. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Now, let's get back to this one. I found another study that we mentioned off air just briefly. I'd like to circle back on it, that compared the performance of portfolios of firms with gender diverse boards to those without. And overall, their summary was, we did not find evidence of an association between diversity and performance. Is that just outdated data, or we do have better scraping tools now, if you will, to get a more germane data?
I think the report that you're referring to had to do with Watermark, which came out of Australia a number of years ago. The more current information that we're finding is that when these companies are lined up and actually performing and sort of hitting all the checklists, that they do actually outperform those specific indexes, because they're really culling out what I want to call the bad doers, which are, you know, the things we talked about earlier, which are weak policies and unsafe safety records. So if you're able to not only minimize gender diversity risk by taking out the companies that are not acting properly, focusing more on the companies that are making workplaces safer and more of an equality along with their earnings base, you actually find out that these companies have happier employees and they do a better job working for those companies.
One last data point, and then we're going to get into a little more macro, 30,000-foot view of your toolkit that you have here for gender diversity investing, and that is women-run hedge funds are 38% more effective than men-runs. That's a study that we have reported on here on this show before, and I will put a link up for that as well, facebook.com/techonomicsradio. So there is data out there to show that this is good for everybody up and down. Does Morgan Stanley adopting such a toolkit help raise the profile? Is it a 2-inch headline for companies and investors now, hopefully?
I think it is. You know, not only is it the public being effective with how they interact with shareholders, but it's also the institutions, so that if, in fact, they are being credible and wanting to support women particularly or diversity specifically with social impact, they're actually finding that the returns are coming in better. And I'd say the study from, you know, the last 5 years comparing, they've got less inherent risk that seems to be happening with these portfolios. They're also finding that the diverse leadership is really helpful. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, this economic participation in these trends is really important. If you stop just for an example, I'm going to throw out, I can't mention companies, but just think about specific companies that women do a lot of the buying. They purchase 70% either online or in stores, typically in retail. And the representation on these boards doesn't have as many women or minorities. And it's one of these things. So like at this point, you want the company to reflect not only your buyers, but you want the company to reflect the people that are supporting the company. So in fact, when you and you're able to have a more balanced board of directors and you have term limits and all these other things, it creates a higher level of reporting and a higher functioning. And I think you'll find that these companies have less problems going forward when it comes to reporting and being transparent.
I have to say that it's a dichotomous feeling when I talk with you, Theo, about this and this incredibly important toolkit that you guys have researched. And then I'm looking at headlines from this week that Cosmopolitan has designed a car for women. And that's going over about as well as we would have expected, I imagine. So it's almost like it's like one step forward, two steps back sometimes. But I have to applaud the efforts of Morgan Stanley and for yourself in pushing this towards the goal line.
Yeah, it's also really interesting when you look at some of the real numbers. So there was a study by Quantopian, and it looked at how well Fortune 1000 companies led by women performed compared to the S&P 500 over the last 12 years. The comparison actually showed that 80 women CEOs during that 12-year period produced equity returns that were 226% better than the S&P 500. So it is happening. It's a matter of being able to, again, like I said, filter out the bad actors and emphasize the ones that are doing good works. And I think, you know, the activism that's happening quite frequently is making changes. And you can use the example of Microsoft with Ballmer leaving and what's happened to the earnings on a company like that that's now become a diverse board with real transparency and real policy that's been improved.
Well, Theo, I appreciate any guest who will call out somebody by name, which we've called out Steve on this show as well. I appreciate everything you guys are throwing our way. Let's keep it going and let's talk again soon.
We will definitely do that. There's more to come.
Also, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your time this morning.
All right. Take care.
That was Theo Tash Schwabacher. She's an institutional consultant at Morgan Stanley. She's also co-chair for Women Corporate Directors of Northern California. That group's purpose is to put more women on public company boards of directors. For her research and other research around the veracity, if not compulsory need, for gender equality in the corporate world, check out links at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio or KGORadio.com/Techonomics. After this short break, we change gears from gender issues to anxiety issues. I know, not much of a break, but last week we had a behavioral economist on Techonomics to talk about money anxiety from a political or research level. This week, we'll look at it from where it really matters to us, our own wallets and our own checking accounts. Consumer anxiety and shedding it, coming up on Techonomics.